China is transforming itself from a land of villages to a land of cities. The government estimates there are now some 200 million rural migrants working in urban centers, and that's having a profound impact on China's cities and on the villages left behind. Money sent back home helps build houses and put kids through school. It also increases prosperity in the villages, but it often comes at a cost both to the migrants and to those who remain behind. The World's Mary Kay Magstad looks at the view from a village in southern China.
It seems an idyllic scene here in Wangwan Village. Rolling green hills, terraced fields, a couple of water buffalo wading contentedly in a lily pond. But Zhao Yunhua doesn't see it that way. She says people around here are so poor, it took 20 families to buy those two water buffalo. Her family barely ekes out a subsistence living, growing peanuts, corn, and wheat. And it's still in debt from borrowing money 5 years ago for medical treatment after she was bitten by a rabid dog. But hundreds of miles away, in the megacity of Shenzhen, Zhao Yunhua's son is doing what he can to change the family's fortune. Tianhai Tao lives here in a tiny concrete room in a back alley of Shenzhen's shopping district. There are worn blankets on the floor, a small scattering of clothes, and a few random toiletries. Tian shares this room with three of his buddies from the village. He jokes that they don't bother locking it because there's nothing to steal. Tian has already been a migrant laborer for 5 years, since he was 15.
I worked in construction sites in Wuhan for 3 years, but I didn't save any money, and I didn't feel it was really promising. It didn't go anywhere, so I came to Shenzhen.
You started working very young. Why?
My family is very poor, and my older sister is studying.
Suddenly, Tian looks like he's about to cry. He bites his lip and looks down and struggles to regain his composure. Eventually, he explains why. He's working to put his older sister through college. He says this was his idea. He tried to get her jobs around here, but she kept complaining and quitting and saying she wanted to go to college. He figured he's a man, so he can do hard labor. But to put her through college, he says, he's had to sacrifice his own dreams.
Sometimes I think about it. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, I actually dream of going to school. It's torture.
For now, Tian says, he just puts in his work days, 7 days a week, earns his $8 a day, and sends most of it home. When he has a free moment, he strolls around the city, tries to learn something new, picks up a little English from visitors. Someday, he says, he'd like to find a way to help his village so other kids don't have to leave school early to work in cities like he did, like his 15-year-old cousin is doing now, like many teenagers are doing around China.
The authorities regard this as an embarrassment, as an issue not to be talked about.
Robin Munro is research director of the labor rights group China Labor Bulletin in Hong Kong.
The extent of the underage labor problem in China is impossible to quantify because the government is not putting out its own statistics on this basic question. Still, there are state secrets regulations in place in China that explicitly say any information on the child labor problem in China is to be treated as a state secret.
But Munro says China Labor Bulletin's own research in China suggests the number of cases like Tian's, of underage village kids dropping out to become migrant laborers, is on the rise. He says most of these kids are around 15, like Tian was. The legal working age is 16. But some are younger. And they tend to be from among the estimated 20 million or so children nationwide who have been left behind in villages as their parents go off to work as migrant laborers. Back in Wangwan Village, some neighbors of Tian's family are hosting a boisterous game of mahjong. The couple who owned this spanking new concrete and tile home have both been migrant workers, and they left a child behind, who's doing just fine now. Duan Yongzhan is his mother. Duan says she left when her son was five and put him in the care of her parents. She worked for 6 years in an electronics factory hundreds of miles away in Guangdong province. Her husband did construction jobs somewhere else because the pay was better. She says it was hard for all of them to be apart, but it was the only way they could afford to build this house, put their son through school, and improve their lives. Now Duan is living here again. Their son is in middle school. And Duan's husband, Chen Qiang, wears a proud smile as he cradles their new 2-month-old son. But Chen is only here for a visit. He's still working as a migrant laborer in a city a couple of hours away. He says he wishes he could be around more to watch his baby son grow, but he thinks it's more important to give him a good life.
When I was little, like my baby son here, we didn't have decent clothes to wear, and sometimes not even enough food to eat. Since economic reform started 30 years ago, when I was small, the changes here have been huge.
For evidence of that, just ask Wei Daoquan down the street. He runs a general store, where another mahjong game is in progress. He says he's had this store ever since economic reform began, and he's noticed a considerable increase in how much villagers spend and in how many little luxuries they can afford to buy now. He says that's pretty much because of one thing.
The economy in the village is mostly because of the people working outside. When people come back from the city, from working outside, they can make houses, they can do small business.
This kind of ripple effect is happening in villages all over China, with migrant laborers helping make villages both more prosperous and more plugged into the national economy. But even with village life improving, the pull to the cities is still strong. The average urban income is about 3.5 times what the average villager makes, and the gap is widening. The Chinese government has taken steps in recent years to ease farmers' burdens, getting rid of some taxes, paying new subsidies, and making education free in village schools. But for many, that's not enough. Tian's father, Tian Bingguo, complains that even with his son having worked in cities for 5 years, his family is still sharing its mud brick house with the pigs and chickens.
In our village, some people's houses are better, and that's change. People dress better and live better, but that hasn't happened for my family.
Well, there is the new refrigerator and the new television, which Tian bought for his family, and there is the fact that he's helping his sister do a university degree in English. But Tian's parents seem curiously unexcited about that. His mother says, "I worry about whether my daughter's going to be able to finish or find a good job. College is too expensive for poor villagers like us. And anyway, if anyone was going to go, it should have been our son." Now, she says, there's no chance of that. But their son, Tian Haitao, hasn't given up hope. He's living in a city of migrants, a city where people remake their lives all the time. I ask him what he'd like to be doing in 5 years. He says, "I can't think that far ahead. I can only think about 3 years, because in 3 years, my sister will graduate, and I'll be free to look for a more comfortable job in a better place and do something with my life." I tell him, "Your sister's lucky to have a brother like you." Yeah, he says, "That's what I think." For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Shenzhen.
You can see photos from Mary Kay's series on China's urbanization at theworld.org. Our series continues tomorrow with a portrait of one of China's new cities. That's tomorrow on The World.